Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Apologies. I was distracted there. The cat decided to come on my lap at the exact point that we were just starting. Welcome along to the Rangers Rabble Women's Show. My name's Brian. I'm joined tonight by Wolf and Carr. Folks, how are we?
Hey, good. Good weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good weekend. Collecting the day out yesterday with the Rabble Women's crew and the late Brian Fotheringham, who got there eventually. And as we'll touch on later, a nice old firm semi-final. I look forward to.
Yes, absolutely. Carr, we literally just got drawn in the last couple of minutes. Obviously, Rangers versus Celtic and Spartans versus Hearts. I think we're all sort of gut feeling was going to be Celtic, wasn't it?
I mean, you knew it was going to happen, wasn't it? We're going to have to face them at some point, so I'd rather get it over with in April, and then in May we can have a nice final to look forward to with minimal stress. So, it was bound to happen, so take it.
Absolutely. And Wolf, I think both of you fancied Celtic in the semi, didn't you?
Well, I did. We asked Laura earlier, she fancied Celtic in the semis. Carr was wanting, she wasn't bothered. She just wanted.
Well, what Hearts in the final?
You know what I mean? She said she wanted Hearts in the final. We can still get Hearts in the final.
But
I'm hoping for Spartans in the final. So I don't need to find a dog sitter that day.
Oh, that's true.
I was about to say yes, because I don't think Hampden take our access for dogs, do they?
There'll be plenty of room for them, to be fair. But...
Yeah, there would be. So, of course, Rangers women were in the capital yesterday for the quarterfinal of the Scottish
Cup. Ryan, I have to correct you. Rangers women weren't in the capital yesterday. Rangers women were in Leith yesterday. Apparently, Leith isn't in the capital.
Really?
Just in case my good lady ever watches this, Leith isn't in the capital, according to my heart-supporting good lady.
Since when's that ever been a thing?
Back historically, Leith wasn't part of Edinburgh, but it's been part of Edinburgh since as far back as anybody can remember. But Carol clings on to the they're not from Edinburgh. But she still calls it the Edinburgh Derby. I don't quite understand it, but there you go.
That's almost as bad as Liverpool saying they're not part of England, isn't it? That's just that part of that sort of nonsense, isn't it? But it was a good afternoon, Carr. I think the first half you both said yesterday wasn't particularly the best, but much improvement in the second half.
No, I mean, the scoreline flattered us. It wasn't a 6-2 game, as we'll come on to. The first half wasn't great. We just weren't playing the way we normally do. Joe tried something a bit different with the lineup and didn't work, so she changed it and it came good in the end, but looked like it was going to be another one of those days against Hibs that we just struggled to get past them, but we got there eventually.
Very much so. And the lineup, just to confirm, was Vic Essien in goals with Nick Docherty, Carson Hill and Tess Mirak in the defence. We had Brogan Hay, Rachel Rowe, Mia McCauley and Lizzie Arnott, and then Sarah Ewins, Chelsea Cornett and Liv McLaughlin. Any sort of surprises in that lineup, both?
I was a wee bit surprised that Rio Hardy didn't start, to be fair, because I know she's not been scoring a lot recently, but you know, as Carl touched on, it's always a bit difficult. It's always one of the more difficult games against Hibs, particularly away. And you know, Rio always causes problems when she's buzzing about up front. So I was a wee bit surprised that Sarah Ewan started just in front of Rio. But apart from that, I mean, Joe, you can't second guess Joe because she uses the squad quite well. You know, and as we'll get to, she sort of realised that it wasn't working and changed it up a bit at half time. And as Carl said, 6-2 flattered us, but we'll take it.
Nice to see Bance back on the bench, Carl.
Yeah, it's really good to have her back, which, you know, Joe said a couple of weeks ago, was it, that, you know, the timeline for players coming back. So that's her back now. So hopefully Rachel McLaughlin's not far behind her, and then Kirsty Howitt, and then, you know, towards the end of the season, hopefully Kirsty McLean will be back. So it's just good to see her back in, because Kirsty McLean out, we're relying on Liv McLaughlin, Chelsea, Rachel Rowe, kind of the midfield to shore up. So it's nice to have Libby Bance back, who offers us a bit of physicality in there. So it's just good to have a bit of options when we're going into this split with needing more rotation for players.
Very much so. And Wolf, it was another goal for Mia in Edinburgh. Cutting in, Brogan coming in from the left this time. I forgot to ask Carl, is that another new thing, Brogan being on the left?
They seem to switch. I don't know if it's like a permanent thing, but they seem to, her and Lizzie seem to switch sides, just depending who, you know, who she's got on. But Mia, for me, should have been out wide. I don't know why she put Mia up front beside Sarah Yens. It was bizarre, but that's Joe for you. She's trying things.
Fair enough. As I was just saying, Brogan came in from the left, ball broke to Mia. I must admit, when I watched it was the most bizarre goal ever. Did the goalie not think of diving? I mean, it was going so slow past her.
We had a bit of a debate at the game about whether it was actually Mia's goal, because we watched it, Carl put it up on the phone, we watched it back, because obviously the sight lines at Meadowbank aren't the best, from especially looking up the end we were shooting towards first half. And it looked to me like Mia hit it, a defender blocked it with her foot, it hit her mate in the leg and went in. So really, the first defender's touch took it away from the direction of the goal, and the other one put it in the net. But I mean, Rangers gave it to Mia, and it looks like she's getting the goal, and that's fine. But I thought it must have been going past, because the goalkeeper left it. You know what I mean, I don't even think she was wrong footed, and I can't see how the pace would have put off. I just don't understand why she didn't go for it.
Very much so. And just speaking of the draw, folks, Rangers ladies versus Celtic ladies semi-final Scottish Cup. Let's try and set up the Rangers side at Hampden for the ladies. So it's the projected weekend is the 27th and 28th of April. I'm not going to try and hazard a guess on which day we'll play, because you just never know. But that's the weekend that it's penned in. So keep your eyes open for tickets. Rangers obviously will put the tickets available on the website. I know the website's not great, but keep your eyes open for that. The equaliser, Carr, not the best defending, was it?
It wasn't. I mean, to be fair, if we'd taken that corner and scored from it, you'd be happy with it. So you've got to give Hibs a little bit of credit. Not that we like to do that, but I guess defensively could have done better. Vic maybe could have got a hand to it and done a bit better, but it was very congested in the box. It's just one of those ones that they sometimes go in, and we got a little bit unlucky and gave Hibs a bit of a foothold, and just didn't have a great first half, really.
No, and the second goal, Wolf, that ball seemed to take an age to get to Lizzie. I mean, every time I thought, somebody's going to cut it out, nobody cut it out, and it was a nice wee neat finish in the corner.
It was, but again, I'm not quite sure what the goalkeeper was doing, because it wasn't hit with any kind of great power. You know, I mean, I think we sort of looked at each other, but we could have come out the stand here and walked up and stopped that. You know, I mean, the time it took to roll it into the net, and we were, what, half the length of the pitch away. Then the running track, you know what I mean? So, yeah, we'll take it. We'll take them any way they go in, and it was nice to see Lizzie score.
Very much so. Very much so. And Carr, the second goal for Hibs, the second equaliser. Good through ball, and I'll tell you what, I wasn't expecting that shot.
No, I mean, it was a good team goal from Hibs. Not that I'll give them any more credit than I already have, but I need to, because if, again, if we score that, you're happy about it. But I guess defensively, could have maybe Cathy Hill maybe could have come out a bit better and stopped the, you know, the ball in. But it's not much you can do when those, you know, they get a good break and score quite a nice goal. So, I mean, thankfully it was the last goal they scored that day, but it's just one of those things that you don't quite expect. But Hibs always come out for a cup game because it's really their last chance to salvage something from the season, because they're not going to win the league. They're out of the other cup. It's not much they can really do the rest of the season. So they always come out to play a bit against... They're a good cup team, I suppose, but a good goal for them. And just we probably could have done a little bit better, a bit more intense coming out and trying to stop the ball, but didn't get to it.
No, very much so. Wolf, as you were describing when I arrived for a cup of tea after the ladies' game, the third goal was a funny one. We had a bit of a ping-pong in the box. Looked like Hibs might take the lead. The ball was launched long over the top of the defence. Sarah Ewens gets onto it and finishes very well, considering she's got the defenders chasing her. The ball's running, because obviously in the Astro, it's not, you know, you would think it's easier, but it's very difficult to miscontrol and you lose it. But fair play, it was a good, a very good finish.
Yeah, well, we're winning twos up at half time, and you know, Joe made the substitution at half time, and she brought on Rio for Lizzie, if memory serves me right, and that seemed to kind of, you know. It certainly worked at the end of the day, could be completely controlled in the second half. But I mean, at the start of the second half, for some inexplicable reason, Vic's distribution was a wee bit dodgy, to say the least, yesterday. She basically rolled the ball straight to the Hibs player, who, fair play, tried to chip her, because she's standing at the edge of her box. But to give Vic a bit of credit, she managed to get a hand on it, which took the sting out of the ball. And then I think who got back to clear it from behind? Who got back to clear it from behind, Vic? I can't remember.
Test
managed to kind of clear it. As you say, it kind of rolled about a bit, and then our very own captain. I'm just thinking of her name there. Nick launched it up the park, and because I was actually thinking about what Sarah said in her interview after it, that Nick says, "Am I getting the assist for that?" Because all she did was lump it up the park, and Sarah Ewens did fantastic, and she took it under control, and she took it a few steps into the box and rattled into the net, and that was basically, there was no looking back after that. But I mean, I can't help thinking, had Hibs taken advantage of the goalkeeping error and scored, I think we could really been in trouble, because we might really have struggled, because I think they would just have sat in. So yeah, I'm not quite sure what Vic Essen was thinking about, but I mean, we got away with it. She did really well to get a touch on it when the lassie tried to chip her. Tess got back, swept it up. Nick launched it up the park, and Sarah dispatched it away quite nicely.
Yep, and the fourth goal, Carr, it seemed to be an age for the sort of third, and then as Wolf says, after that it was like an avalanche in the sort of last few minutes. But Jane was going through on the left side, and I think she was going to try and cut it back, and then she sort of turned the other way, and the defender just, you know, just took her from the bind, didn't she?
Well, she did. She kind of goes through a little bit, but there's a couple of... Before that, the ref didn't have a bad game, but there was a handball before that should have been a penalty. Hibs probably should have had a penalty, because there was a foul in our box that we were saying, that's a foul, 100% that's a foul, and the ref missed it. But this one, they couldn't really... say no, there's no one around her, there's no other excuse. She takes her down, it's a penalty. Rio steps up and does what Rio does and puts it away as cool as you like. I don't think she's missed the penalty for us yet, which, you know, it's good that she's back in form now. She's scoring, you know, scored last week, scored this week, a couple of goals, just getting back into that rhythm now that we need it going into the split. So you can't really argue with that, but probably should have had one before it for the handball, because it was blatant.
Yeah. Lindsay McDonald, nice. Thanks for getting in touch. Rangers women are pure, brilliant team to watch. Let's hope that they put the Celtic ladies into the sword at Hampden Park in the Scottish Cup semi-finals and give them a good hammering. And I also hope that Rangers can fill the entire end up at Hampden to roar on and give their support to the Rangers women. Yeah, Wolf, this is, you know, we've been harping on this for quite a while. It's one of those sort of carrots, though. It's a day out of Hampden, Old Firm day. You never know.
It would be nice to get a crowd, but the problem that they're going to have because we've drawn them, it's obviously we don't know our fixtures that weekend yet, because it's after the men's split, and given the way that it works, Rangers will have to play one day at the weekend, either the Saturday or the Sunday, and Celtic will have to play the Saturday or the Sunday. So one of the two teams, their men's team, is going to be playing the same day. So that end won't get a crowd, and I would probably lay money on the fact that whatever day that semi-final is, our men's team will be playing the same day, because that's generally the way it works. And it'll probably be something ridiculous, like we'll be in Edinburgh or we'll be in Dundee. You know what I mean? And that game's at Hampden. So it's one of them. You probably wouldn't be able to do both. It would be nice if you could. I mean, yesterday was almost perfect. The timings were a bit. We could have done with the kickoff being maybe 1 o'clock instead of 12 o'clock. Yeah. Having said that, it was a nice wee afternoon sitting in Costa. Other coffee establishments aren't available. Unless Costa want to sponsor us, then we'll say exclusively Costa. Were you guys after the game? That was quite a good, enjoyable, you know, hour or so in the afternoon. Yeah. But had it been a 1 o'clock kickoff, they might have got more people at it, because you've not got so long to wait. You know, hanging about for kind of 3 hours after the game is not ideal for a lot of people. So I've got a feeling that might happen at the semi-final. It would be lovely. I think playing the semi-finals at Hampden's a mistake, to be honest. I get it. I get why they want to do it. But Rangers Celtic semi-final, play it at Partick Thistle. You know, or play it in Paisley. Mm-hmm. Try and fill the place. Play it in a ground that's not 50,000. Because 50,000, see you get 5,000 at it, that'd be a great crowd for a women's semi-final. At the way things are just now in Scottish women's football, that'd be a great crowd. Mm-hmm. 5,000 at Fir Hill would be quite atmospheric. 5,000 at Hampden, it's rattling about, what, a tenth full? You know what I mean? So I would say play in a smaller stadium, but they've already said this at Hampden, so it's going to be at Hampden. It would be absolutely lovely if Lindsay got her way and the place was full. I'd be a big advocate of that. But unfortunately, it's not going to be. I mean, even if they give the tickets away, which I know they won't, because SMA don't do things like that, you know, they give the tickets away, they'll get a five-figure crowd without any question. But again, one of the two first teams is going to be playing the same day as the semi-final. So unless there's a bit of out-of-the-box thinking, something's going to clash somewhere along the line, which will obviously affect the attendance. Ideally, we play the Saturday. The men's team play the Saturday. Our women's team play the Sunday. And there's no excuse. Let's just fill it. Let's try and get as many in as we can. But let's see. I just think it's the wrong venue for it.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Carr?
I mean, I'd love it to sell out, but I don't see it ever happening, considering we've only got 2,000 for the League Cup final sold so far at Tynecastle, you know, next week. So I'd love it. You know, down in England, they're getting 30,000, 40,000 crowds at, you know, big games, the derbies and whatever. But I think we're a wee while away yet. But the SFA and the SWPL can't seem to knock their heads together to make it so games don't clash. I mean, I know it won't happen, but they could maybe even move it to the Friday, something like that, so it definitely won't clash. And then you'll get, you know, as many folk in as you possibly can, but I don't see that ever happening. They won't do something sensible like that. But, you know, as long as we get enough folk in to give them a little bit of a boost so it's not looking a bit deserted, it'd be good. But, I mean, we'll be there. Depending. I'll be there. You know, most of us will be there that, you know, don't get tickets to the men's games. We'll be there. But it doesn't matter. As long as we get past them, the final will be perfect. We'll be able to, you know, try and fill it as best we can once we're in it, and it'll be all right. But I don't know. I think we could talk about this every week, couldn't we? Fixture clashes and unsensible thinking across the board, and they just can't seem to figure it out. But we'll wait and see. But I guarantee we'll be the Sunday. It's always the Sunday. They might even put them both on the same day. I don't know. I think they've done that before, having the two women's semi-finals on the same day, which is bizarre. But we'll wait and see what they say when we find out when they are.
Very much so. Going back to yesterday, Wolf, Jane's second goal of the day. First goal.
Boston only goal of the day.
Yes. Cross from the right. The goalie makes a bit of a hash of it, and Jane's sharp as a tack and puts it in the net.
That's just what she does, isn't it? Jane's done that for long and weary. You know, she's had a long and distinguished career even before she got to us, and that's what she does. She's in the right place at the right time, puts it in. When the ball drops like that and she's round about that area, there's only one place the ball's going to end up. And that effectively did it. That was the last knockings of the game. The important one was the goal that took us too clear. You know, because we went a goal up twice, and then we were saying, look, at 1-0, it's the second goal you need. At 1-1, it's the third goal that you need. You know, you need to get the two goal gap, and then you can kind of relax a little bit. So once it went 4-2, which was the first time we were two goals ahead, we were like, well, that's at home and host. And as you see, Jane makes it 5, just at the very last knockings, but there's still time for more after that.
Now, Carr, the goal that led to the 6th. Now, I'll tell you what, if that was in the men's game, that tackle for the free kick, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't have been shocked if that was a red card, would you?
Well, we thought it was. We were a bit kind of confused, but I'm guessing because it was like the 96th minute, I want to say. Like, it was really the last embers of the game. I think the ref was just kind of, oh, it doesn't matter, they're going out, it's fine. But it really should have been, because it shouldn't matter. Like, if that's the kind of tackle that's going in, it should be a red card. But, I mean, the men's game referees are rubbish. The women's games are even worse. So what can you really expect? But a lovely free kick from Rachel Rowe, who seems to have a habit of doing that, and then Rio's at the back post, exactly where you want her to be, to just head it home. You can't really ask for much more.
Nope. Wolf, I think this is another issue that you've tried to harp on about a
well,
lot.
Well, the only thing I can think of.
On you go, sorry.
Yeah, so the only thing I can think of for Over the Hills post is only found out that the game yesterday was on Hibs YouTube from an Instagram post. And as Paul says, it's shocking that Rangers never let fans know how to watch. I can only assume it's because it was not a rival club's channel. They don't want to be promoting the rival club's channel. It's the only way I can think of it. But then there was no other way to watch it because Rangers weren't screening it anywhere. So it is a little bit bizarre. The only thing I can think of is because they don't want to be promoting Hibs's, you know, YouTube channel because it gets hits and things like that. But I would have thought that they wanted, you know, Rangers supporters to watch the game. So yeah, it's a bit of a double-edged sword on that one, I think.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
But for me, I don't see why Rangers couldn't have shown it as well. You know what I mean? There must be a way they can agree. Look, it's not as if Hibs weren't charging for it. It was free on their YouTube channel. And I think the way YouTube works, you get, you know, obviously make advertising revenue and stuff like that. But surely Rangers could have went, look, we've screened it on ours, and at least it gives more eyes on the game. Particularly as we've just said, you know, the game struggles to get people at it. And if you can get an entertaining game that people can actually watch, it might encourage them. I say, well, go and watch that, you know. But
yeah,
you know. But then Paul McGarrigle's hitting on something that I've been banging on about for a long, long time. We should screen every game. We used to when it was at the training centre. We used to, but now we're at Broadwood for some reason we don't. And I would have thought Broadwood would be better for TV coverage because it's an actual stadium. It's got more camera points than the training ground has. But I don't know why we don't screen them, because we film every game, because there's very good highlights for every game. So I don't see why we don't screen them. But I mean, again, there's another cup draw coming up. If I start, we'll be missing that because they'll still be talking about it.
Yes, absolutely. Now, obviously, Carr, with the announcement of the Old Firm for the semi, we've got obviously our very next fixture live on BBC Alba on Sunday the 17th at the usual time of 4:10 at Broadwood. Airdrie, how would you feel the team are shaping up and looking ahead to this one?
I mean, they look better than they did 4 weeks ago, four weeks ago, before the international break, where it was looking a bit hairy. Couldn't seem to score many goals. You know, the 0-0 and then the 1-1, we looked a bit, they were struggling a wee bit. I don't know what was going on, whether we just needed a bit of a rest or a break, but the last two games have given me a bit of confidence. You know, we can score goals, and it seems to be when we go there, we'll give them a goal head start and then we'll kick into action. I'm liking, hoping to think that won't happen again, you know, come Sunday. But I have every faith in this team and Joe, who is here till 2026 now, which I think we should talk about, because, I mean, tying her down is a wonderstroke from the club to get her tied down for a couple of more years. But every faith in the team that they've got the confidence to go into that game with the chance of kicking on then and putting a bit more gap between and not letting Glasgow City and Celtic catch up to us, that we'll be fine, we'll be all right, we'll go there and do what we need to do. But, you know, in these games, anything can happen. But I'm fully confident in the team.
Well, seeing you brought it up, Carve, what was your thoughts on Joe getting a contract till 2026?
I think it's great. I think it's exactly what we needed to do. We need a bit of consistency there. I'm guessing she was only on a year contract, that we've got her signed up quite so soon. I assume she'd have been on a couple of year contracts. Seemed weird to give a brand new manager only a year, but maybe they wanted to see how she got on. But, you know, it's great. Her and the backroom staff have done really well in terms of, you know, the change of formation. They brought in quite a few players who have worked really well so far under her. They've got everybody singing from the same hymn sheet, got everybody happy with what she's asking them to do. So it's great. And even if next year, you know, going into the last year, another team wants her, we might get a little bit of money for her, some compensation. And then, you know, she's got next summer to bring in even more players that will see what she's done this season, got Champions League to look forward to. And so maybe attract some more players to come up and join in and enjoy what's going on. But I was just buzzing about it because I really do like Joe, I like what her and Jay and, you know, all the backroom staff have done so far for the squad, and it looks really good.
Yeah, Wolf, it's she's very much taken to management very easily. You know, obviously she's been in, I think she was assistant at her last job, so, but the step up from that to, you know, being your own person's a difficult thing. But it's been a really good season for her, and it's nice to see the club showing a bit of faith and keeping her for that sort of length of period.
Well, it's good that she's shown the faith that she obviously likes here, because she signed the contract. You know, she can quite have, well, we'll wait to see how the season ends up, and I'll maybe do it in the summer. But she's done it. She's got the stability. She obviously loves it at the club. You know, she obviously loves working for the club. Otherwise, she wouldn't have signed the contract. It's great to have her signed up till 2026. Hopefully, as Carl says, we can win the league, get into the Champions League, maybe go for a wee run in that. Raise her profile, raise our profile. The only problem if we raise her profile is somebody might come in and take her office, which we don't really want. But that's the way football works, I suppose. I mean, it's noticeable already that she's attracting players because of who she is. You know what I mean? Because Liv McLaughlin said that, look, I've worked with Joe before. I know what she expects of me. That's why I'm here. And she obviously thinks, as a player, that Joe can advance her career. You know, because we're not signing the likes of Liv McLaughlin or Libby Bance because of where they currently are, because they're playing in clubs that have got, you know, far more money, far higher profile than a women's team in Scotland, even if it is the biggest club in the world, which we are. You know what I mean? But they're just not going. But the fact that they're coming up here because they know that the manager is going to have positive effects on their career tells you how she's thought of down the road already. So, in case of getting players up, I certainly think it means we'll get more and better players up. But I just hope we don't get them all on loan, because we can't have a team full of loan players.
No, very much so. And obviously, Carr, we're playing obviously Celtic next in the league. Would this go a long way to sort of suggesting where the league title would end up, should either win?
I mean, it definitely sets us in good stead. You know, we win, we go 7 clear. A draw isn't a disastrous result for us. It is for them, in my opinion. But also, let's Glasgow City catch up then, because if they win on Sunday, then they go two behind us. So that's not great, and you know, adds a little bit of anxiety going into the, you know, the split. So we just have to go out and play our game, and whether it's a 1-0, it doesn't really matter what it is, as long as we get the 3 points and that kicks us on, because then you've only got one more game against Celtic other than the cup game to kind of seal the title, and then also the Glasgow City games. But it just means that we have to go and win every other game, which we've done so far already this season. So, but it is really a must-win game, I suppose, to go and, you know, put a bit of breathing space there and make it a little bit easier for us. But full of faith in the team to go and do it. And, you know, they're chasing us. So it's all on them to try and do what they can do. We just need to go out and play how we play, the way we did the second half yesterday. We'll be all right.
Have you got much and such the same feelings, Wolf? It's a case of we play our game, we win.
If we play like we did second half yesterday, we win the game. Simple as that. Absolutely no problem with that. I mean, it's on that. Is it a must-win game? It's a must-win game for them, because if they don't win, as Carl says, they're 4 points behind us. Okay, they've still got to play us once, but then they need snookers, because they need somebody else to beat us as well. You know, so if we draw with them and then they come to Broadwood and beat us, they're still behind us. If we've won everything else in between. So it's must-win for them, but we have to approach it as a must-win, which I think Joe will, because I don't think she approaches games as well. We'll just go out here not to get beat, you know, because I think she's got very, very high standards, as you should have, particularly as manager of a Rangers team. Yeah, it's the fact it's must-win for them. I think they'll have a go. I think they'll come and have a go. They probably would anyway, because that's what they do. But yeah, if we can keep it tight at the back, and I've got no qualms with the defence, although we lost a couple of goals on Saturday. One of them was quite sloppy. Because the first one, the last, you shouldn't be getting a free header, in my opinion. But I mean, I'm laying that at Vic's door, because she sort of came for it. If you come with that, you have to make it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of them. We don't have to win it, they do, but I think we will win it. And I think we'll win it quite comfortably, because they'll get anxious. If we score, they have to open up. They can't just say, well, no, we're a goal down, we'll just sit in and we'll try and sneak a draw, because that's no use to them. They have to go for the win.
Yeah, and Carr, I think the team that finished the game yesterday would certainly be the sort of the team that near enough starts against Celtic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and probably, to be honest, I do think so. You know, me out wide, Brogan probably another wing. I mean, you could probably put Jodie in there, she'd be all right. I never thought I'd say this, but I think Jenna in goal needs to happen. And that's no discredit to Vic. Vic is a good keeper, but she didn't have a great game on Sunday. And I think she's just been out too long from us. Like, obviously, she was away when New Zealand played a few games, but she's not had that many games to kind of get under her belt and kind of settle her down. It's been a bit inconsistent for her. So I'd say probably Jenna back in goal, and then put all your strongest players out there, to be honest. But Liv seems to, you know, really have stepped up, flying into tackles, looks a really good player now. You know, I wasn't sure about to start with, but I'm really liking the look of her just now. Chelsea will step up. I think everybody well up for it. And, you know, Rio up front, whether she puts Jane in beside her or leave Sarah in there to do the, you know, the kind of dirty work that Sarah does to get the ball to Rio to then lay it off. And then me and Brogan out wide will always give us that option of getting balls into the box. So I think so, but it doesn't really matter. Jody could offer something. You could really argue for anybody in there, but we'll be all right. It was windy yesterday.
It was windy yesterday,
yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Wolf, do you... It's nice for the manager to actually have options now, because there was a... As Carr said earlier, there was a period in the season where the bench was very thin and it was, you know, we were getting a bit sort of tight. But, you know, it's nice to get some players back. Obviously, Love's come in on loan. And, the bench yesterday was certainly a lot stronger than it's been for a long time.
Well, when you also consider the players that we've still got out, then, you know, things are looking okay. We could do with getting some of the injured players back, but it doesn't sound like we're getting them back anytime soon. I mean, we spoke to Innie yesterday after, because Innie was at the game yesterday, and she's hoping to be back by the end of the season. That didn't fill me with a lot of confidence, the word hoping. That really didn't fill me with a lot of confidence. Kirsty Howitt, she's not she wasn't walking about in a knee brace like Innie was. So, you know, hopefully she's a lot closer, I think, you know. Just hope she didn't do her knee further than Michelle, but the two goals at Easter Road when she was sitting behind me. But yeah, the score is looking better, but we could really do with getting everybody back fit for the, you know, for the split and for the run. And unfortunately, it's not going to happen. But the more we can get back, the better, because the competition for places has got to be good, because that way they have to step up in training. You know, nobody can coast it. Nobody, I don't think anybody is coasting it anyway. But you know, nobody's, particularly the way Joe picks the team, nobody's sure of a place. You know. The one thing I hope they do this week in training, we were talking about it again yesterday, is that as good a player as Rachel Rowe is, somebody needs to teach her to look up when she's running, because she's got this. She seems to have this habit of not look of running. They're a great run up the park, but she doesn't look up before she passes the ball, and you know, sometimes there's a better option on than the one she picks. I mean, I don't want to be too critical of her, because I think she's a fabulous player and what she does is really good. But, you know, so there's once or twice yesterday, she had a better out ball than the one she chose. And as she just looked up, she would have seen the better out ball. You know, so hopefully they work on that a little bit before Sunday, because I think that could be critical, because she could certainly create an awful lot more goals than she does.
Very much so. You were speaking about this yesterday, Carr. What about Mia next to Rio up top? You weren't very fond of Mia in the middle, were you, yesterday? You weren't totally enamoured with it.
No, I don't think it worked. I think she works better out wide to then cut inside. That's like, seems to be her favourite thing, cutting inside and then, you know, those kind of looping balls into the net, as she did against Celtic and then against Hibs last week. And I mean, the one today doesn't really count. It wasn't the same kind of goal. But you know the goal I mean, where she kind of cuts in and then, you know, slides it in. I don't think she liked it, because she seemed to be drifting out a wee bit and almost getting in Brogan's way at one point. So it was a nice experiment. I liked that Joe was trying something different, but for me, nah, Mia works better out wide. You could maybe put Rachel Rowe up top if we're really struggling, but we're not struggling. So that's the bit I didn't understand. You've got Rio and Jane, you know, proven goal scorers on the bench, who like to be up top. So I don't know why she was doing that, but for me, I wouldn't put me in there, I'd put her out wide.
Right, she did it towards, if you remember back to the game last week, at the league game at Meadowbank, Mia finished the game, you know, behind the striker, which is when she first tried it. So she obviously, I think Joe obviously saw something there that she wanted to try, but as I said at the start, fair play, it wasn't working, so she changed it up a bit.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, for me, Wolf, it's going to be, you would imagine, it's going to be Jane and Rio starting up front next week, isn't it?
I'd like to think so, but as I said earlier, you can't really second guess a Joe Potter team, because you don't know what she might pull out the bag. But I mean, so far it's all worked. So got to trust whatever decision she decides to make.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Carr, as you say, it's as Wolf just said, it's very difficult to try and even think of what, you know, Joe's going to come up with, because nobody would have come up with Mia playing in the number 10 role, for example, or things like that. Excuse me, but if historically, if you look at the sort of best sort of performances and who was playing, it is sort of Jane and Rio up top, isn't it?
Yeah, and you've got to take into account the pitch is bigger in Airdrie. You know, they will come out a wee bit, which will open up space, which gives, you know, Mia and Brogan or whoever to cut inside, which I think we're going to need to utilise. You get to the byline, cross it into the box, all that kind of stuff. So I think you want your best wide players on there to get that. And then Jane and Rio in the box is where you want them to be, the poachers. So that's exactly what you need. But I don't know, I do like Rio in beside Sarah. I think they work quite well together. And then, like, obviously when Kirsty is fit, which she's back training on grass, which is giving me hope that she'll be back, like she said, for the cup final. So we've got another option there. But you can't really guess what Jo is going to do. She could throw an absolute wild card out there and you wouldn't really be mad at it, because it might work. So you just got to trust that she knows what she's doing, which so far she's not proven anybody wrong. And we'll be all right.
And Wolf, it's not very often you can say this, but we've got two managers at the club that we can never, well, Wolfer Hill, he can never predict their teams. And it's true enough, the men's and the women's team, there's no way you can sort of predict any week what we're going to get.
It's nice to be in the position that the squads are of such a strength that's the case. You know, I mean, for too long, I mean, I don't want to compare the two squads, but for too long, both the men's and the women's squad, you basically had the first 11 more or less nailed in because there was nobody else, you know, with injuries or suspensions or shortage of players or whatever. You know, you basically, the first sort of 8, 9, 10 names on the team sheet, you could pick every week because there was really nobody else apart from putting in young players. But now it's great because, as we've said, we've got strength everywhere. I mean, even looking next Sunday, is it going to be Jenna or Vic in goal? You don't even know who's going to start in goal. You know, you have a fair idea who the defence is going to be because that doesn't tend to change. But then there's Lisa come in, you know. And if Lisa comes in, does Tess step into midfield or does one of them get a break, you know? And it is difficult to try and second guess her, but we're still unbeaten this season, so Joe's not doing an awful lot wrong.
No, very true. But just to throw the little caveat in before the split, Jen, we've got Hibs at home on the 31st of March. But of course, the big game that weekend will be Glasgow and Celtic, because obviously that would be our two nearest rivals. That'll be an interesting game just to finish off the split as well, won't it? So Celtic's got two tough games to finish before the split, haven't they?
Yeah, I didn't actually know they had a game that they were playing each other that weekend, because I didn't actually look. I just looked at our fixtures, to be honest. But obviously this month is kind of massive, and I think we'll be pivotal and, you know, who's sitting where going into the last kind of 2 months of the season. So that could be interesting. But also this weekend, I think Glasgow City of Hearts, which have been a bogey team for us, for Celtic and for Glasgow City this season already. So, you know, it could be... You know, we beat them, and then Glasgow City drop points or a point, and we're looking all rosy going into, you know, the cup final, and then playing Hibs again, and you don't know what could happen. It's, you know, it's nice having other teams strengthen to the point that you never know what could be happening, because it always was the case that, oh, we'll beat them, that's no bother. And now you genuinely don't know, because, I mean, I didn't see us beating Hibs by such a margin last week or this week, and Hearts have strengthened as well, so it's good to have a more competitive league. It'd be nice if all the other teams could kind of get a bit more money in and catch up a wee bit as well. But it makes it more interesting, I suppose. But then also, it's not great for my heart after what happened last season.
And of course, Wolf, it'll be Glasgow City playing at the Odeon, which is a place you know fairly well.
I've been there a couple of times. I wouldn't say I know it fairly well. Probably been there more than I have, but. Yeah, it's actually not bad. I just wish they'd use the pitch next door, because at least it's a grass pitch, but they're never going to use that. So, but yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've got no problem with Glasgow City continuing to win games, because we seem to have their number, so I don't think we'll struggle too much against them. And in all honesty, I want them to finish second, because I don't want our nearest and dearest anywhere near Europe. Thank you very much.
Can't think of who you possibly mean.
I'll give you a clue. It starts with C, it ends in C, and it's got something not very pleasant in the middle.
So, yes, but, and of course, we finish off the split being at home, the Hibs car, a familiar team. That'll be three games in a month. So, you know,
well, that's not the end of the split. We've still got all of April and May to go.
Yeah, well, I'm looking up to the end of March. I'm looking up to the end of March, sorry, yes.
But we've got another Hibs game, because we love playing Hibs.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're very fond of them now.
Oh, it seems to be every week we're playing them. But anyway, folks, that'll do us for tonight. We will hopefully be back next Monday, all doing well with shifts and work schedules and everything. But we managed to get the three of us tonight. Poor Laura's having to work, so... It was her turn tonight to miss out, and my internet didn't blow up tonight, so that was good as well. But many thanks for everybody. It's been a busy show, lots of comments. It's great to see. It's great to see more eyes on this. As I say, the ladies' team are going really well. Keep your eyes open for the cup. The cup final tickets are still out, and I think you get them at Hartswell. For that, be correct.
Yeah, you get them off the Hearts website. You get them off the Hearts website. Tickets are, I think, if I remember right, they're about £8 or a tenner or something like that. Their hospitality, I don't know if it's still available, but their hospitality looks like I can deal with £38 a pop. You know, I'll tell you what it was like, because I'm going to be doing it, but anyway. But, I mean, it's Carl says, we won't sell 2,000 tickets. That's a disgrace. That's an absolute disgrace for a League Cup final for any Rangers team. It's only over in Edinburgh. It's a decent venue. It's easy enough to get to. So, you know, it's a 15-minute walk from Haymarket if you take the train. You know, if anybody is on a loose end a week on Sunday, the date escapes me. 24th. International weekend. It's the men's international break. It's the Sunday, I think it's the 24th. 24th, yeah. 1:30 kickoff. It's not a King's Ransom. Great chance to take kids. Great opportunity to take your kids if you want your kids to watch football. I guess that with the shout from downstairs. My stream's running a bit slower, but I've just guessed that from the scream I've just heard from downstairs. Get along to that. Obviously, we've got a game next week against Celtic at Airdrie. Tickets available for that on the Airdrie website, 4:10 next Sunday, after the men have played in Dundee. Unfortunately, I can't do both this weekend because I think she'd probably walk out if I did again. I might try it, actually. I might see. But anyway, yeah. If you have a mind to go to the games, there's plenty of games coming up that you can get yourself along to. You know, ladies play the home game. In case you're new to all this, the ladies play the home games at Broadwood. They're quite good at advertising those games. They're not so clever about advertising away ones, but stick around, boys. We'll keep you posted on what's going on.
Absolutely. And as Wolf says, it's a cracking opportunity to take your youngest kids to an Old Firm game where it's, as Carwood, you know, has said many a time, it's a very much family affair, Car, isn't it? You know, it's very, very friendly. It's, you know, it's a great way to introduce them to a Celtic Rangers game without the sort of the busyness or the madness of the sort of the men's side.
Yeah, it's always a bit more friendly, but it is segregated. We are at, you know, separate ends of the main stand, I guess that is. But it's, you know, there's never any trouble other than that, you know, the Ibrox debacle that happened at the last home Old Firm, but obviously didn't come to anything. It's usually a good day out. We do quite well. You know, there's a bit of banter going about. You know, you can't complain. The only thing I'll say is if you're driving there, you've got to pay I think it's £3 now. It used to be £2. It's £3 to park in their car park, which I find absolutely mental, but I suppose they need to make money. But that is the only thing.
I just parked out in the street.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, you can also do that. Park your Lidl just across the road. It's fine. And the tickets, I think, are £10. I think they're £10 for us on the Adrianians website. So it's always a good thing. If you can't get to Dundee, get to the away game, come along to Airdrie and hopefully see us go 7 points clear.
Yes, absolutely. So there you go, folks. There's, you know, big games coming up, cup finals, semi-finals, Old Firms. Get yourself involved and get the young ones along. So, but my thanks to Wolf and Carr for joining me this evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Pleasure as always, Brian.
Yep, absolutely. And we shall hope we'll catch up next Monday and we shall see you then. Thank you.
Podcast Network.